Now let's consider John Stuart Mill's early and impressive work on Tariffs and the Terms of Trade. I'm drawing on Mill's early book, Essays on Some Unsettled Questions of Political Economy. These essays were written in 1829 to 1830, which means Mill penned them in his early 20s, quite an impressive achievement. This essay in particular is called Of the Laws of Interchange Between Nations and the Distribution of the Gains of Commerce Among the Countries of the Commercial World. Mill sets up an example where we have two countries and two commodities. There is England, which is exporting cloth, and then there is Germany, which is exporting linen. Now let's say that England taxes cloth, its export, and then we assume that the price of the cloth goes up by the amount of the tax. The question now is, can this tax actually make England as a nation better off? The answer is yes, it possibly can. So consider the case where German demand for cloth is inelastic. In that case, if we put a tax on cloth, the price of cloth goes up. Now the quantity demanded of cloth will go down, but by the definition of inelastic, the price is going up by more than the quantity demanded is going down. So if we have P times Q, the price terms the quantity, that is going up. And the Germans are sending more money to England. Of course, some of this money is captured by the taxing authority, but for the nation of England as a whole, more resources are being reaped from Germany. Mill is quite clear, by the way, that this increase in the price coming from the tax will only increase English resources if the German demand for cloth does not fall very much. He didn't use the word inelastic, which is more modern, but it's pretty clear from reading Mill that's exactly what he had in mind. Another way to think of what happens is that imagine in the initial setup that the English suppliers of cloth are all competitive. That is, there are many suppliers in the market. Ideally, they would like to get together and collude and raise their prices, acting in concert to their German buyers, but in a pure market setting, they're not able to do this. What the tariff or tax does is, in essence, raise the price as if those companies were colluding, but that extra return isn't necessarily going to the companies. A lot of it is going to the English Treasury. Mill outlines another channel through which the tax on cloth may make the English better off. So in Mill's scenario, there's a fixed exchange rate based, say, on a gold standard, and as the Germans spend more money on English cloth, Mill notes that money leaves Germany, then in general prices in Germany fall, and linen from Germany is then, for Mill, cheaper for England, and Mill portrays that as a second source of gains. Modern economists would tend to explain this in a somewhat different way. Modern models of international trade typically use an assumption of barter. So in this case, if the price of English exports is up, by definition, the price of German exports is down, and this other gain does exist, but Mill is a little bit confused to think of this as a separate channel from the one he's already outlined. Part of Mill's brilliance in this essay is to understand just how deep the symmetries in international trade theory run. So if you're taxing your own exports, what you're really just doing is taxing trade. If you're taxing trade, it can be the case that taxing your own imports also can shift the terms of trade in your favor, and Mill saw that quite clearly. You can think of this as follows. When you tax your own imports, you're in essence getting all of your domestic buyers to band together, act like monopsonists, and you're seizing some of the gains from trade and converting them into revenue for your domestic government. In a modern context, it's sometimes been suggested that the United States should put a direct tax on oil coming, from Saudi Arabia, so that some of the monopoly rents currently accruing to the Saudis would instead flow to the U.S. Treasury. Note, by the way, that in general these are simply theoretical results. Most economists still do favor free trade, in part because they do not trust governments to get right these optimal tariffs, that tariffs are often applied for special interest or political reasons and not on the grounds of efficiency. Nonetheless, if we're to understand the free trade argument, we also need to know what are its final limitations, and Mill was the economist who saw that very clearly and very analytically quite early on. Mill also has a clear discussion of how giving away machinery or technology to foreigners also can shift the terms of trade against a country, that over time the foreigners may produce in that sector more cheaply than the original home nation. Mill also made some initial progress on what later came to be called the transfer problem. The transfer problem arises when you have systematic shifts of money out of a country abroad. An example given by Mill would be absentee landlords in Ireland. You could also apply this to debt payments or reparations payments. It's no surprise that the transfer problem received a lot of attention in the 1920s. Mill didn't really solve the analytics of the transfer problem, but you can see him starting to make progress on it. For a comprehensive look at the history of terms of trade arguments, I very much recommend Jacob Viner's Studies in the Theory of International Trade. This book is actually online from Liberty Fund in the Online Economics of Liberty. You should also see Mill's own later arguments in his Principles of Political Economy, and to get a sense of the modern treatment of these issues, some Google terms you could use would be tariff terms of trade effect offer curve.